Good evening and welcome to our practice intensive radio show. Sherry, are you on the line?
Ashwini, this is the monastery. I think maybe you unmuted our line.
Oh, let me make sure I don't do that and get Sherry. Sherry, I'm still not seeing you on the line. I'm going to give me 1 second. Welcome, everybody. We're still having a little technical problem here in trying to get Sherry unmuted on the call. If you would just be patient, we will try to get that sorted.
Hello?
Hi, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Good. Glad
That's
we started
good.
That out. I was having these nightmares of another show that's going the way of the last one. So glad I could find you in the queue.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't know what happened, but I'm glad we're here.
I know. I couldn't see you. I've been scrolling through pages and pages of people, like 6 or 7 of them. So, without further ado, shall we get started?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, our focus was on work, this practice intensive focus. And from all the texts that I've been listening to, it's been quite a fabulous practice opportunity. So let's hear from our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael in Mountain View.
Oh, hello, Michael.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. What I noticed from the assignment was looking at work being all about me and just the huge freedom, you know, when it's not about me and am I doing it well enough and, you know, am I the star or am I going to get fired or, you know, when it's just about, you know.
I like those two possibilities. Am I the star or am I going to get fired?
Yeah.
There's no middle ground for ego, is there?
No, there's no middle ground. And, you know, it's just back and forth on that continuum all day long. You know, did I do it right? Oh, okay, I'm the star. And, oh, I forgot that, so now I'm going to get fired. And, you know, the constant is it's all about me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it wears us out, doesn't it? It seems like it would be a good thing, right? Gosh, all about me. Wow, that's great. But it just wears us out. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And with everything, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because it's all about maintaining an illusion.
Yes.
Right? And so it's never going to be fulfilling, and it will be exhausting.
Right. Yeah, bad on two counts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And the irony is, it's all about me, but there's nothing in it for the human.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun, too, because I was seeing it as a process, you know, because, of course, it's not about just, you know, paid work. It's, you know, it's about how I do any, you know, work or project at home or with the kids or cleaning up after dinner. And when it's for, you know, when it's for the kids or for the kitchen or for the clients, then it's much easier to motivate and it's more fun and there's no standards and there's no ego.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? It's
yeah.
crazy when you see it. Right? Because everything in an ego-driven world says you've got to be focused on you all the time. And even that pseudo-humble, how did I do? You know, what do you think about me? Have I pleased you? Have I met your standard? But still, it's all about me. And it's just the fastest way to be left out of life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because there is no me.
Yes, and what I love about that and what I was seeing and what you're saying is, you know, it's everybody can see it. It's not like, you know, I can try to be humble and make it, you know, it's just
right.
We're all so transparent about who we are and what our agenda is.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's just that most of the time I would say all the time that we're identified with ego, we're identified with ego and therefore we're fooled by it. So we really believe that the story we're hearing is the one everybody else is hearing about us and what they're believing about us. And as you say, you know, we're just completely transparent. My teacher's way of talking about it is, your mind precedes you into the room.
Yes. Yeah,
so as we walk in, we reveal ourselves completely. But we're so caught up in the story in our heads that we don't notice that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I'm just incredibly grateful, as always, for everything, for this practice assignment and Sangha and you and Ashwini and the monastery and the monks. And it's just a great fun to be a part of. And the more I approach it as participation and gratitude and joy, I have more fun, and I project other people have more fun around me also.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that the truth? That it is the greatest gift that we can give, to just get the focus off of me and get it on life, right? Then it's what it's that social relief thing. You know, everybody's attention doesn't have to be on trying to deal with me, because I've forgotten about me, and so everybody else can forget about me, and then we can all just be here.
Yes, yes, and the funny paradox is that I benefit from that. I benefit from that,
yes,
first, forgetting about me.
Yes, 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 yes. As soon as I lose interest in me, I get life.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. The only thing standing between me and life is me. You know, it's like a very unpleasant sandwich, right? There's authenticity on
yes.
both sides, and the ego in the middle. The ego is the,
yes.
you know, and so we want to take that out and just let the authenticity come together, and then there's fulfillment. It's kind of an odd image, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Michael. You know, I love that. I love that image, right, Sherry, that we think we're presenting a mask to everyone outside, but we're living the mask that's presented to us, and then it's all just a masquerade. And it's when we take the mask off that we really are what we are.
Yes, and it's beautiful. That's
it's
the piece that we didn't get told, right? Is that if
yeah.
you just be what life has created you to be, it's beautiful. And when we try to be what the ego says will be wonderful, it's ugly.
It's that Mother Teresa quote that we're a masterpiece that is being finished infinitely carefully
uh-huh.
by life.
Uh-huh. Yes, and to enjoy the creative process, right? To see
yes.
ourselves being evolving in each moment, having no idea what's coming next, but excited to see what unfolds.
And full and wholeheartedly participating in the process.
Yes, absolutely. No clinging
yep.
to me, that static old me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad Michael was the first in the queue, because I forgot to say, if you want to talk to Sherry and to do Gassho, press *6. So I invite everyone to do that. And I'll bring the next person who has some experience on being on these calls, because they did press *6. On next. So next
All right.
caller.
Ashwini, wait
yeah.
1 second. So you press *6 and then the prompt says press 1, right? And,
correct.
And we do that too? Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Who's next?
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please announce yourself?
Hello, this is Paula.
Hi, Paula. Hello.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy you're hearing me. I got very excited when you were having technical problems. And I tell you, because I just felt like, wow, you know, everybody has technical problems, which is where, you know, a lot of what's been going on in my life in the last couple of weeks. So, are you hearing me?
Literally.
Okay.
Literally, Paula?
Okay.
Literally.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if it was
electronic... I'm sorry, Sherry. Please say that again.
Well, I couldn't tell if that was a, you know, you're using that as an image, but you mean literally all the technology in your life has gone south.
Yes, that's what I mean. I have spent an absolute amount of time in the last couple of weeks, and even before that, but concentrated time in the last couple of weeks just trying to, get back where I can actually use every electronic device that I have. And this even includes, like, I left my recorder on Tuesday for 8.5 hours. So at night, I'm getting ready for after the radio show on Tuesday. I go to do my recording, which is kind of my, you know, habit to do. After every Tuesday night, I have to listen to the radio show, I go and record. And I picked it up, and I saw it was on recording. It had been recording all day long. So I don't know if it has anything to do with it. It's not just the equipment. So
you mean you think maybe we have a part in these things when it's going that
well? I definitely think that this human being had a part in that. But anyway, it's great to I just having a sense of humor about whatever is going on at any given time is just the best medicine I can think of. It's essential to
it's
my
essential.
Sanity.
Yep. Yeah, it's essential. Yeah.
So let me get back to, like, what I wanted to talk about a bit is this practice intensive. It was really wonderful because it was, and the focus being on work, because it helped me to kind of structure my thoughts and feelings in terms of reminding myself that my work is not specifically a job that I do, but it really is, you know, how I go about, you know, living my life through whatever I am, you know, I whatever's on my list of things to do for the day, and also whatever is kind of my routine from day to day. And I kind of defined, I did a process map. And wrote that my work is, you know, whatever I say it is. And what it is to wake up and end suffering. And, yes.
And everything you do toward that is participation, right? We divide things up, but really you're participating in life. And the point of participating in life is we have an opportunity to wake up and end suffering.
Yes. Yeah. That's absolutely. That's a great way to talk about it and to see it too, because that is the way it is. That it is life. It's not. It's easy when I don't argue or fight with what is. And it's also it's challenging. But it's also challenging when I'm interested. When I'm interested or I'm curious or I'm in wonder, then it's challenging, and that's fun. Enjoy that.
Yes. That's such an important point. We hear so often in this age of everybody into an understanding of Eastern philosophy that as you said, you know, what is challenging. What is can be challenging. And so the first thing we have to do, we have to question is, do I know what is? And often we don't know what is. Because as you've done, if we frame it as, I have work to get done, this technology is not working. It's really it's really messing up my life. And somebody comes up and says, well, you know, what's going on? Well, what is that this technology is not working and it's messing up my life. Okay? But the other way you framed it is, what is that this technology is doing what the technology is doing, and I'm having a chance to see my reaction to what happens when technology doesn't do what I expect it to or think it should do. I get to see my reaction to that, and I get to choose to have a different response. Now if somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, if they say, ask you, well, what is? You would say, well, what is I'm having this fabulous workshop on expectations and ideas about better ideas about how things should be. And, oh, my God, it's amazing. Right? So, one, I'm suffering. The other, I'm having a great time.
That's true. That's so true. And what I certainly had, the word process is what came to mind, because I haven't always been in that, oh, I'm having a workshop attitude.
My workshop is I'm going to throw this thing across the room. That's the workshop
right.
I'm in.
That's exactly right. I actually had that temptation arise from standing at the top of the stairs and thinking, these three devices are going down the stairs as hard as I can throw them. But it did help, and I'll just add this piece that I was able to be motivated or inspired to write out a process map, and I got to see how a lot of the same thoughts and feelings and conflicts that I feel in relationships are very similar to the conflicts I feel when I'm like having trouble with all the electronic devices or technology in my life. You know, the sensations of tension and tightness in my body, the aggravation and frustration, and all of that is, you know, there's some similarity to it. And I just got to really watch those. Initially I felt really angry and really frustrated and unable to find the words to describe to anybody what was happening and how, what kind of help I needed. So I was so flustered with the whole situation. And the same thing, I was looking at conflicts and relationships, and it's similar. You know, when I don't understand what's going on, or when somebody is saying something to me that is kind of the opposite of what I understand, their understanding it, or their perception is completely different than my own, my first reaction is I'm like, I feel very frustrated that I can't find a place where I can, you know, fix things. I want to make everything right. I want to make everything right. I want to fix it. And I love being able to resolve problems or issues. And when it doesn't happen, then I got to watch. Then what do I do? Then what happens? And that was, it was just really helpful to sit down and actually create a process map with conflict in general and particularly focused on relationship and seeing how that manifested also in this other conflict with technology.
Yes. So with all of those, with everything in life, right? When we're identified with conditioning, with ego and karma and conditioning and all of that, we have an idea about how things should be. And conditioned mind is happy to chug along with that. Right, and then when something doesn't go the way conditioned mind thinks it should, then there's a fear reaction that comes up. Right, it's upsetting. It's the system is going into a danger mode. This is threatening, and so to apply that thing that we looking at a little bit ago, where first of all, of course, we have to get that we don't know anything. Right, that's so relaxing, because if we get that, then we realize even if I'm with somebody and we just see eye to eye all the time, I still don't know anything, that doesn't mean in the next moment we're not going to head off in opposite directions and I'm going to be in this place of what? So if we realize truly, intellectually at first and then through our own experience, that each moment is new and different. Each moment is unfolding. It's never been and it'll never be again. And so with that attitude, we can come to a place of curiosity and interest and, you know, exploration. It's not threatening because I know I don't know. It's only if I should know that it's going to be threatening, right? So I'm in a relationship with somebody and suddenly they're telling me something. They have a viewpoint that is completely opposite to mine. Well, that's a great time to be very, very curious, right? Very open and curious and questioning because I have the opportunity here to learn something if I can remember not to be threatened.
That's exactly, you know, my experience. And I saw myself in and out of the arguing and the wanting to separate somehow, put a distance between me and I mean, there's probably some truth to that with the technology. Somebody said you need to take like a fast from the technology, and I think that there is something to that in conflict and relationships too, is to kind of, you know, step back and put a little
breathe
distance between.
That's right. Just breathe and get back to center and remember who you are and what's important to you and then come back to it with that fresh, open, curious mind.
Yeah.
That's very good. Oh, technology, it gives us so much, doesn't it?
Well, in this case, it sure did. I'm so glad that I could see the relationship between the two things that were going on in my life and come back to, you know, disidentifying from the conditioning and coming back to the wisdom, love, and compassion for the guidance that, you know, I need all the time. And that's where I've been this week, and I've had a wonderful facilitator, and it's all been good, very, very good.
All right, great. Thank you, Paula.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks, Paula.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You know, it's wonderful, Sherry, that to me, the most beautiful aspect of that call was how two things, that it's all process. It doesn't matter what content we use to work that out. The practice intensive could be on anything, and we could see the process that we are, that we have to encounter and transcend. And that we are ourselves a work in progress. There was a line in the practice intensive about how work is life creating sand dunes. And to just come back to the fact that life is working on itself in becoming, in knowing itself, is just a wonderfully relaxed way to participate in the transformation.
Yes, and Paula's, it wasn't a suggestion, but what she did with the process map is always such a good technique, right? That's such a great practice technique because we, with the sand dune, you know, we can watch the whole sequence, right?
Yes.
Here it comes. Here I am. Where am I? Okay, and what happens next? And what happens next? And just follow it right around to where the whole sand dune is gone, and then here it comes again. And it's building up, and there's this and this and this and this. And it is very relaxing because it's there's a timelessness about it that's truly comforting.
Yep.
Only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is urgent. Life is never, ever urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's our next caller. Next caller,
right,
you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. This is Marianne calling.
Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Well, I found this kind of a interesting exercise, as I've had a major resistance to some work. just major. I keep talking to myself and saying, this is, you know, we're not separate. You're doing what you do for them. You are doing for yourself. I keep saying that. But it's different to say it and think it and then to have the experience. So I had an experience of, I practiced a lot with just empty mind. And some work came up, and I had empty mind, and I just saw, oh, yeah, I can do this. This is, I have the energy. I can do this right now. And it was easy. It was fun. I connected. So, yeah, so I had a little epiphany, I guess.
Yes. Yes. So now I just want to make sure I'm tracking here. So you have, it sounds like for a while, just had experienced a lot of resistance to all work, just to work in general.
Well, it, to specific work, because it's volunteer work that I have to do where I live. Well, I don't have to, but I am kind of put in the position, or feel like I've been put in the position, that I have to be the one that has to do it.
I see. And that breeds resentment, or I don't want to, or...
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
okay.
I've been
okay.
trying to work with myself with that, and...
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, I can say, you know, I can cut off, okay, I'm not going to think about doing why I'm doing this, but... this past week, I just had experiences where when I just was empty and the work came up, I could respond.
Yes, yes.
Without,
yes.
without thinking, without...
yes, yes. Let me try this with you. Without that conversation in conditioned mind... You're just right there, and you respond.
Yes, and it's so much easier.
Oh, it's so much easier. You know, the other thing that I like with this is that, so, you know, I'll be you, okay? So I feel like I have to do this thing that is not my idea, and I'm not particularly excited about it. In fact, I just flat out don't want to. And so if I have a really good friend, a dear friend, to do it with me, then I won't mind so much because we can have fun. We can we can play and talk and enjoy and be in company with one another, and we can have fun doing it. And the beautiful thing about that is we always can be in that relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
So I can say, you know, I can say, well, okay, come on, Sherry. Come on, we're going to, you know, let's go do this. All right, before we do it, let's do this. Let's make some tea. First let's make some tea and make our plan, and then how we're going to do it and what we want to be listening to. Let's see, my favorite recordings. I want to listen to those on the way, and then I want to this, and I make... a pleasant activity out of it as I would if I really were doing it with a friend or with a child that I particularly am fond of or whatever it is that evokes that feeling of we're doing this together and it's fun. That's the relationship we want to be in with ourselves, right? And with everybody else, of course, but first with ourselves.
Yeah, and I don't know why I had such a struggle to get there. You know, it just, I think it's some really strong conditioning, and somehow by not being me or just being open to just whatever is happening right in front of me, that all shifted. Because what comes up was the perfect opportunity to do work without feeling resentment.
Yeah. Whoa, what a relief, huh?
Yes.
What a relief. And talk about something you want to practice, right?
Yes. I think how you spell relief is living compassion.
Yes. Yes, that's what we want to be doing, right? When we're living compassion, then everything is easy, isn't it?
It is.
Because it starts with us, right? We feel it, and it just extends out. You know, our hearts are filled with compassion, with loving kindness, with generosity and gratitude, and it just blows out. And karmic conditioning just doesn't have a chance against that.
Yeah, so I want to thank my facilitator and whoever put this program together again for helping me wake up.
All right. Well, thank you for doing it. Thank you for participating. That makes all the difference.
Okay.
All right. Desho, good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Marianne. Sherry, I'm going to bring up the next caller so we get everyone a chance to participate.
Good.
So,
all right. Great. Thank
you, Marianne. And next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. What occurs to me to talk about is how I don't know what's going to happen, what I'm being told in my mind, and think of as my thought, is really very questionable.
Bears observation, right? Warrants scrutiny. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've had three examples of that I'll try and say very quickly. So a lot of the focus of the last week for me has been on experimentation, which is one of the, you know, three kind of practices we were offered. And so as I shared in the call just a little while ago, the biggest experiment I tried. I was told in my mind that, ooh, this kind of got a little out of hand and so on, and maybe, you know, didn't go so well, and maybe it was a little too controlling or whatever. So I, the next day, which was this morning, I asked the people who were involved, which were my students, how they thought it went and so on. And the feedback I got was very strongly that it was very helpful. Yeah, and as my facilitator suggested, you know, how you know, conditioning, you know, doesn't want those questions to be asked. How what I think is going on can be so different from what is.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm participating in this other project currently. And one of the things that we're running up against constantly, truly constantly, is that what the voices in conditioned mind are saying is 180 degrees away from what is so.
Mm.
So with your example, you know, don't ask, because they're going to tell you this stuff that you really don't want to hear. Because it was awful, and you're going to find that out. And exactly the opposite is the case. So truly, and talk about an experiment. If you want to play with something, just listen to what the voices in your mind say, and pursue whatever it is to the point of realizing that it is exactly the opposite of what is so.
Mm. Could you say more about that?
Excuse me, I think so. yes, I'm just kidding here. Yes, that conditioned mind is the world of opposites, right? It's the world of duality. And so what it's telling us, literally, is the opposite to what is so. Hang on a second.
Sure.
Sorry, I thought I was kidding there when I first started choking, but by the time it was over, I was not kidding. So,
oh, wow.
So what the voices say, you know, what happened with you is a perfect example. They think XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't need to ask because the voices in your head know what they think, those other people. And that listening to that and believing that puts us in a position of living in a world, in a reality that is the exact opposite, truly almost exactly opposite of what is so.
Mm.
So the voices will say they don't want you to do that, when in fact they do. And then they will say, well, they really want you to do that, when actually they don't. And it's kind of spooky how accurate that is. So that's my encouragement to people. Just play with it. Test it out. Don't ask him that. He doesn't want to do that. And you ask him, and in fact he does.
Wow.
Okay. Or you know, see if she'll want to do that, and she doesn't.
Mm.
So to prove to ourselves, to do that enough that we prove to ourselves that the voices in the head not only lie, but they are giving us opposite information to what we really need to have, to what life is giving us. So the kind of science behind that is that life is unfolding, and conditioned mind is coming along a couple of beats behind to go, no, not that. So if life unfolds and there's an opportunity for you to do this thing that you always wanted to do, okay? Somebody calls you up and says, hey, Jeff, I'm going to Paris for the weekend, and I have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? Okay? And the voices are going to come in, boom, boom, behind that and go, you can't do that. That's crazy. You have to bop, 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 bop. Okay? So the voices, the conversation in the head is always anti-life. It's always no to life's yes. Now, it's not that there's never a no from life. You know, should you sit in the bathtub and, adjust that loose electrical wire? Life is going to drop in a pretty, no, that's not a good idea. Okay, but the voices will come in behind that and say, oh, come on, you can do it. Just be careful. You don't need to touch the, are you with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So practicing with that, we would be to deliberately check things out and to try things different than we would normally, in quotes, do them, and to try things that, you know, where we're being told, no, you can't do that, and is that what you're talking about, is the way to play around with that?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Whatever is going on in your head, check it out and see how often it's the opposite. So that person thinks such and such about you. Okay, it takes a little bit of guts, right? But you say, now I keep getting information that you think that 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 that. Do you? And just find out.
Wow. Yeah, very.
Prove to yourself that that conversation is telling you is setting up a reality that is opposite to what actually is. It's setting up a no in opposition to life's yes. It's setting up a you can't when life is a constant you can. It's not possible when life is nothing but possibility.
Wow. Okay. Great.
All right. Thank you. More exploration coming right up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Good night.
Yeah. Good night, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Sherry, I think we have time for some more callers, so I'm just going to...
All right.
Fine.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice.
Hi, Janice.
Hello, Janice.
Hi there. Oh, I'm so happy to be with all of you.
It's good to hear your voice. Everything's okay?
Yeah, it's just unfolding, and what I'm really practicing is taking care of this human, not as a I, but as a person who's connected to needing to take care of some other bigger thing. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, taking care by getting enough food and rest and taking some supplements at this time, and totally understanding that I haven't got a clue what's actually happening, and we've never been through anything like this, so that can I make it fun?
Yeah, can I interrupt you right there? Because yeah. That's such a big one, Janice, especially what we were just talking about with Jeff. So you've never been through anything like this before, and yet the voices in your head, I would bet, would like to convince you that there's a way to do this, that you should know, that you could make a mistake, that is this true? Is there any of that going on?
Partly going on that way, yeah, the voices would like to say that, and one of the things they would really like to say is that whatever is going on, I need to fix.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, even though we're not sure what it is, but we are sure you need to fix it. Oh, dear.
Like yeah. There's a me that has to fix it instead of,
yes.
Like, a human being that's just exploring and saying, let's fact find. Let's,
yeah.
Let's find out and what, out, let's ask questions and let's
because
make.
Because we've never been here before.
Never
been here before. Right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires, actually was saying in the pod, it actually requires me having to drive a bunch of places that I've also never been before, figure out parking and stuff like that. And the fun part of the experiment is starting earlier. So leaving really, really early, having lots of time to enjoy even if it's in a city, enjoy the drive, and asking my passenger to be like the GPS. Can you just say, in two blocks, we will be turning left? here's the map. I've fixed it. Just don't tell me too far ahead. Just say, you know, and now we'll be turning right at the next stoplight. And getting someplace early and eliminating all that stress is huge.
This is watching practice really pay off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would project this whole time in your life could be hell at another time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right, without that attitude, without that focus on not listening to urgency and all of the things that build stress and fear, and that the unknown is something threatening and dangerous, and you need to fix it, even though you don't really know what it is or how you would do that, but you should.
Right.
And that kind of that's a hell state.
Definitely. It's a mm-hmm. hell realm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this asking for assistance has been huge too, because even, for example, having started a little group where I thought I was supporting others, those people have been in similar experiences, so they're the experts, and the assistance of people who have been through things like this is just such a support for life.
Yes, yes. And the possibility that we can always be in relationship like that with one another.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But whatever is going on, you know, we're all in exactly the same boat. None of us knows what's going to happen. Right? So in that way, we're all having the same experience. Right? And so to be in that together, supporting one another in that, even whatever the circumstances, whether it's a health situation or it's a going to a job situation or it's raising kids or it's whatever it is that's going on, ego wants to separate us and get us on opposite sides of an issue. But if we can realize that we are all having the same experience, then supporting one another in it just becomes natural. It's just it just makes sense.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. So I am just so appreciative that there was the practice intensive, and that even when there was a pause with the technology at the beginning, I just got to, I'll just reread the whole assignments again, and I'll just reread I'll reread my texts again, and it's just like, wow, that just worked out so well.
Yeah, and isn't it great that we all know how to meditate, so we're never at a loss? You know, something isn't working quite, so I have to sit and wait. Okay, good. Well, gives me a little more chance to breathe consciously. This is
good. Yeah. Deep Gesho.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Janice. Good night.
Good night.
Anybody else? Ashwini?
Sorry, Sherry, I muted myself while I was talking.
Okay.
Anyway, I was just saying it's so wonderful that assignment to experiment and set up that we don't really know produces such a wide variety of, you know, practice experiences, and it so underlines what we do, which is we don't know. We don't know, and we don't want to believe the voices. And if we don't know, it's that line, you know, our life is a mystery to be, to participate in, not a business to manage. And that wonderful experience of being part of the experiment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Unfolding with it.
Unfolding with it.
Yeah. Experiencing ourselves unfolding in each moment with life.
Yeah, and it ties in so well with everything we've talked about, which is that is the work of life, right? To unfold the joy of intelligence knowing itself.
Yeah.
Okay, here's our next caller. Next caller,
all right.
You're now live on the air. Would you introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini, Sherry. This is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Yeah.
So I did not put myself in the queue originally, but then hearing the talk about participation, I'm like, well, and then the voices started in with you have nothing to share, so just in defiance of it.
A perfect example of the opposites, right? So you knew you had something to say because they're saying you didn't. Perfect.
And then, you know, I got to spend the next 40 or 50 minutes having a heart attack every time Ashwini went to pick a new caller. Oh, my God, is it going to be me? Actually, it was something that was said. The guidance said, you know, you could do this with a mentor, do it with a friend who just loves to be there with you. And then, we get to share together. You know, then it was kind of exciting. And, it just turned into a very kind, and it just changed the whole tenor. I mean, being in a relationship with life versus the voice.
We can say it in the same breath, but we really shouldn't, should we? It's oranges and baseball bats. You know, they really truly have nothing to do with each other, because one is life and the other is this, zombie-like state of misery. So, yeah.
Oh, that sums it up nicely. Because what I was seeing during this week was just this, I've heard you say before, it's not like there's a gray area. You're either listening to life or you're listening to conditioning. And when I wasn't listening to life, there was just this constant looking over my shoulder. I could see this kind of coming out of childhood, looking to conditioning with a child's question, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you know
how it answers.
Right. No, of course you're not. How many times do I have to tell you?
But looking at the question, it becomes a little silly. Am I doing it right? And what's implied there is there's one right way to do it, and the judge knows.
Yes. Yes. And the judge isn't going to tell you. Right? That's the other thing. Right? I mean, that's one of the places we could really catch on to what a scam this is. Because if there's one right way to do this, and this voice in my head knows what it is, why isn't it telling me?
It's anti-help. But still, it was still kind of compelling. And it wasn't until sitting here listening to other people talk, and there's nothing wrong with what they're sharing. And then all of a sudden I saw the double standard. And I don't know, double standards have been helpful for me in that it's clear there's an I who's holding itself to a different standard than other people. I don't know, it just kind of dissolves it. If they're okay, why can't I just relax? And
that's right. And if I may, Dan, if I may, there's an I that is holding you to a different standard, right? Because it is that voice that claims to know the one true way, and it's not going to share it with you so that then it can tell you afterwards that you did it wrong and beat you. Yeah, so, that even that being held to a standard, when we start breaking it down, is that what's actually going on? Because what is the standard? You know, okay, tell me, we're all intelligent, capable, competent people, right? So tell me what the standard is, and I will meet the standard. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the standard is. You should know what the standard is. No, you don't need it. You know, come on. I mean, if that were another actual person, we would stop playing with them long ago, right? Because they cheat.
And I can see, when you read that. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, when you were asking, so what is the standard? Let me write it down here so I can, do my best to meet it. And it was very clear it didn't know. It was just waiting for me to do something and say, not it.
Yes.
That's not it.
That's not it. That's it. That's that thing. So something happens. Beep, beep, beep. No, you did it wrong. No, that's not it. No, that's a mistake. Yeah? But you're right. When you ask it, okay, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Tell me what the right answer is, and I'll do it. All you get is silence. Yeah. That's huge,
wow.
Isn't it? That is huge. That's kind of everything. It doesn't know. It's not real.
It doesn't know.
It's coming in after the fact to say no, to tell you what's wrong, to tell you what's wrong with you, and beat you up. But ahead of time, heck no, it doesn't know. Yeah. Oh, that's so big.
Yeah, I can really see it as like a truculent 4-year-old.
I wish I were a horror movie fan. I would give you a real image of that 4-year-old, right? Because it's got bright red eyes and a tail and cloven hooves, right? So this is not some force that we can actually deal with. The only relationship we can have with it is just to ignore it, because it is not there. You know, people will say, well, you know, I know it's really trying to do the best for me, or it's really trying to help me. No, it's not. It is not. If it were doing that, it would be like the person you hire as a coach, right? The coach says, okay, let's lay out a plan. Okay, you can do this. Okay, I'll support you. Yeah, tell me how it went. Right, they're on your side. They're encouraging you. But that conditioned mind, there is no encouragement. There's no help. There's no anything. It's just after the fact, tell you what you did wrong and beat you up. And when it's not trying to scare you about the future. That's the other thing.
Right.
Yeah, but you've always been a loser, and there's no reason to think you're going to change in the future.
So, yeah, when I record and listen about it, thank you, for nagging.
thank you.
It's not continuing the conversation. It's not, am I doing it right? You know, and originally, before I kind of found this practice, it was, no, you are. You okay? Yeah, we'll come up with a strategy how we can do it right, how we can do it better. Which is never good enough. Now it's just turning the attention. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Am I doing it right? You're worthless. It'll say you're worthless, and then I think about a child, like a baby. You know, just is that worthless? Not. I mean, you know, not at all. Yeah. And let's just go to that.
Yep. So, am I worthless? No. Am I doing all right? Absolutely. All right. All right. That doesn't even come close. I'm a fabulous human being. I get up every morning and go out there to do the very best that I can do. Come on. This is metal-worthy material here. You know, I'm doing a great job. I'm waking up and ending suffering. I'm ceasing to listen to you, negative voices in my head. Yeah, and it really is worth it. It's a very good thing to approach it that way, right? That not to let it get away with it. Every time you hear something like that, you just say what's so. You say what is true. Just like you would, you know, if a little kid comes home from school and says, you know, so-and-so said I was bad today. Come on. You can't be bad. There's no such thing. You might do things that people don't like or don't approve of or I wish you wouldn't do or whatever, but that doesn't make you bad, right? You would never let a child, you wouldn't just say, oh, okay, and go on with your life, right? And so we want to be in the same relationship with those voices in our head.
Use every time I happen to hear it as a reminder, you just go to that what you're just modeling there, which is fantastic. Oh my God, you're wonderful.
You call them on it. Nope, that is not true. That is absolutely not true. You are a wonderful human being. I am so lucky to be living this life with you. I can't imagine anybody else I'd rather live with. I am so grateful to have this life with you. It's wonderful. In fact, let me tell you a few hundred things that I like best about you. And it really puts us in that relationship of disidentified and really seeing that human being. It's not me. I'm seeing that human being and supporting that human being. That's the relationship we want. We want to be the unconditional love and acceptance that embraces that human being. That's what we're going for, right? And so to take every opportunity to do it.
Every opportunity. And as you were saying, I did disidentified. When I'm not him, when I'm looking at him and he's suffering, how can you not want to take care of?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's a huge, that is just a huge step. So we want to reinforce that every chance we get. Every time we hear a voice, we just say, no, that is not true. No, that is not true. That's a wonderful human being. Let me count the ways.
Yeah. And not running away, not passive resistance, but actively loving him. So thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. What a wonderful way to end our hour, Sherry.
Did it go by really quickly? Was it a short hour? Well, we did have those few little problems at the beginning, but yes, I love getting to spend this kind of time with folks. So thank you. Thank you for doing that
thank
for
you.
Us, Ashwini.
Thank you, and thank you to Jen who wrote the class this time, and we look forward to our next practice intensive for another.
When is that going to happen?
I believe it's November.
Okay, great.
No, sorry, I'm wrong about that. I think it's December because we have
December because we have an email class in November that we get to get through, and then we'll get to another one of these. That's great. Michael will sort us out. He'll tell us on open air.
Yes, I'm
all
sure.
Right.
In fact, it's November 4th through the December 10th. So,
all right.
Right.
All
after
right.
The email class.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.